Our scripture actually comes from the book of Philippians today. That is chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. So let me just turn to that right now. Verse 1, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus. To all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. And whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Christ Jesus to the glory and praise of God. So we'd like to turn the time to Pastor Irene as she shares her message. And I'm just going to pull up my phone. And the message is, I've lost it. Siblings in Crisis, I believe. Yeah.
Thank you. Hi, good morning, everyone online. Great to see you all, like, through the screen. Now, today's message, the title is Siblings in Christ. You know, once like, someone asked me, and he said, you Christians are very strange, calling one another brothers and sisters when you are not even related. That's true. Why do we believers call each other brothers and sisters? Now, one can easily understand that if we are very good friends, but as a matter of fact, we are not that close with one another in church. So why do we use this term? And you know what? Sometimes we even call some church members whom we don't like as brothers and sisters. And this makes like the outsiders, the non-believers, think that we are hypocrites. If this is the case, we must have a very good understanding of why we believers call each other as brothers and sisters. And more importantly, we must be able to discern the difference between the relationships among brothers and sisters in church versus the relationships we have with our buddies outside of church. And last but not the least, why does God establish this brother and sisters relationship in church? So this morning, let's learn from Apostle Paul on what it means by being brothers and sisters in church, in Christ. The Philippian church was founded by Apostle Paul in his second missionary journey. And after the church was established, Paul did not stay there and he went elsewhere to preach the gospel. And only after 7 or 8 years later did Paul have the chance to return to Philippi for 2 short visits. Although he rarely spent time with the believers there, from this letter, we can see that he had a very close bonding with the Philippians. So what kind of relationships did they have between them? The Bible tells us that Paul and the Philippians had a relationship in Christ Jesus. In the 11 verses read this morning, the name Christ Jesus is mentioned 6 times. Whether it is at the beginning of the letter where Paul sent his greetings, or when he was describing how he cherished his memories of the believers there, or during his prayers for the Philippians, Paul kept on referring to Christ Jesus. It was because Paul knew that his relationship with the Philippians was built on the solid foundation of Christ Jesus. And Christ Jesus not only marks the beginning of their relationship, it was the gospel who put them together. But Christ Jesus is the pillar that sustains the whole relationship. And that's why Paul called the Philippians all God's holy people in Christ Jesus. So, how does the relationship in Christ Jesus look like? Now, there is a word in the Bible that describes it. It is koinonia. Now, this word first appeared in Acts chapter 2, NIV translated as fellowship, which means a group of people with common belief and shared values, and they interact with each other and build good fellowship. Now, but this fellowship does not refer to the individual fellowship groups in church, such as the Acts, Bethel, or Unia. Instead, it focuses on the corporate nature of the interaction of all members throughout the church. It also does not refer to the friendship among like a few members because of like-mindedness, but rather it refers to the relationships each one has built with all other members in the church. And at the heart of this church fellowship is Christ Jesus. Now, Christ Jesus is the axis where the heart of each member revolves around. And each member is no longer an independent individual, but rather a part of one body. And this is to say, let's say, every congregant of LGC is part of this body of Christ. And our relationship with LGC is so close that we are its eyes, ears, mouths, and feet. And we cannot be divided, nor can it omit anyone. Otherwise, this body is no longer whole. We often hear the term in Christ, right? We assume that it means like the believers share a common belief. But it is not only that. More importantly, the term reminds us that it is because of Christ Jesus. We believe now. We are all related by blood. And as the Holy Spirit indwells in all believers, our thoughts and minds are of one, and we have the same values because we stem from the same source of life. The Holy Spirit is just like the blood relationships we have with our siblings in our families. We are very close with our siblings because we are born of the same parents. Not only that, we are close with our siblings because we grew up together and we share the same heritage. We have many common memories. And in the same manner, as believers, we also share the same heritage and have lots of experience that we walk together in our seek of God in Christ. For instance, spiritually, we all identify with Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection. We all experienced God's grace as we encounter similar challenges in our faith walk. And over the past 39 years in LGC, together we went through many ups and downs. For instance, the pain of the church division more than a decade ago. And also the joy of dedicating this church to our Lord after the extensive renovation project about like 8 years ago, and also the success of the revision of the church bylaws 4 years ago. The ups and downs we have experienced together at LGC become our shared memories of life, and these experiences bond us together as one. We might be complete strangers because we have very different backgrounds before we came to LGC. But now, we have become the siblings in Christ. So, how do we view our relationships with brothers and sisters in church today? Are they just acquaintances that pass by? Oh, no. We are believers that we worship online together. Every Sunday, we also chat and also we share. But is this what Paul refers to as related by blood? Deep down inside, we know that the answer is a no. Quite a number of brothers and sisters have shared with me that they are very disappointed with the superficial relationships among church members. They greet one another and chat about things, but that is about it. There is no heart-to-heart conversation that would lead a deeper relationship. So, why is it like this? Well, maybe. Maybe because of fear. We fear how others will perceive us. We fear that what we have talked about will be broadcasted out there and become gossip. We fear being hurt. And we want to protect ourselves by hiding our weaknesses. Thus, we try to keep a distance from others, especially from those who have very different temperaments from us. Of course, we try to stay away from those with whom we have been at odds. If we are honest with ourselves, we know that we call these people as brothers and sisters. But deep down, we know that we don't like them, or maybe even we hate them. We have these feelings because we don't see them as brothers and sisters in Christ. Our defensive mechanism does not permit us to see them at that way. But the fact is, they, like us, have the Holy Spirit indwelling in them. And through Christ Jesus, they have received the salvation in the same way as we did. And together with us, they have gone through all the ups and downs in church. If, and only if, we can view them as blood-related family members through the lens of in Christ Jesus, perhaps it will be easier for us to accept them, because in them we no longer only see the annoying behaviors. We may be able to see that a person who is desperate for sympathy and compassion. I understand that acceptance is easier to be said than done. I'm learning it hard myself. It is not an easy process to endure. It may also be a painstaking process, but it is definitely a growing process for us. I also understand that it is extremely difficult to accept someone who has previously hurt you. Sometimes just the sight of that person will bring back all these bad memories in us, and we can feel the pain inside us. So we try to avoid them. Dear brothers and sisters, we don't expect all these people who have hurt us change overnight, but we can trust God. He will protect us from further harm when we try to reconnect with these people, because we choose to follow Him. And I know that it is almost impossible to see and treat everyone in church as our close siblings. It can't be done only by our own effort, and I can assure you this. That is why we need to turn to God. And the first step is to pray for these difficult relationships. Pray that God heals our wounds inside and help us to look at them through the eyes of Christ Jesus, and remind us that they are our siblings in Christ, as we are all in God's family. So, how does this relationship in Christ differ from the relationships we have from our own buddies outside of church? Verse 8, Paul was constantly thinking about the Philippians. Whether he was in prison or whether he was out there sharing the gospel, he still had them in his heart. Now, isn't that the same between girlfriend and boyfriends? They just cannot bear not being together. When apart, they keep on thinking the other one. And they will say, they will ask themselves, oh, I wonder what he or she is doing right now. And that is how Paul was with the Philippians. Paul did not only remember them, he also joyfully prayed for them and gave thanks for them. So, what was Paul thankful for? And what was he praying for the Philippians? Verse 5. Paul thanked God for the Philippians, not just because they are his good friends, but also they were his partners in the gospel ministry. And this is what koinonia is. A relationship in Christ. What drives this relationship is the gospel of Christ Jesus. The gospel not only allowed Paul to get to know the Philippians, it also made these believers be Paul's great partners in expanding God's kingdom. From day one, the Philippians conducted themselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Regardless of any persecutions, they stood steadfast as Paul did, and they continued to remember Paul and provide him with practical support many times. If Paul were present today, they would have sent him their limited supply of surgical masks. And that is why Paul was filled with gratitude whenever he thought of them. Although what they provided for Paul might not be of any great value, however small, it showed their love for Paul. And it is this partnership in gospel ministry and this love for one another that brought such great joy to Paul. Now may I ask you, what kind of relationship do you have with your church friends in LGC? Or more specifically, is there a difference between your relationships with brothers and sisters at LGC? I mean those that you are very close with. Compare therefore your relationships with them, compare them with your body relationships outside of church. Is there a difference? Now, some of you may say, well, both of them are the same. We are just as close as ever, and we can talk and share everything and anything. But if this is the case, then why do we need to call the friends, the church friends, as brothers and sisters in Christ? Is it just to point out that where we meet at church? And very often, we think that as long as we love and respect each other in church, we have already met the requirement of being in the same body of Christ. Of course, love and respect are good, and they are very important biblical teachings we need to learn. But from today's passage, Paul points out that there is more. We must have the same mind for the same mission. And this is the core element that binds Paul and the Philippians in their faith walk as they seek Christ Jesus together. The unified mind and mission makes the two parties to stand firm in one spirit and strive together as one for the faith of the gospel. It is this unified goal that puts them together as one body that cannot be easily separated. If we only have emotional intimacy with brothers and sisters in Christ and don't have any unified mind and mission, though we love and share a great time together, in Paul's eyes, our relationships are not bonded in Jesus Christ, though we started in church. These kind of friendships are just ordinary friendships, same as those in the outside world. For developing relationship in Christ, it does not matter where you meet one another. What matters most is whether we have the same mindset, the same mission, the same goal, which binds us together as one in Christ Jesus. Without these core elements, the relationship is just built on sand and can easily collapse as there is no foundation, no cement that holds us together. I always have this picture in mind. The unified mind and mission put us in a three-legged race in our relationships. Like in Chinese, it's called the Yi Yan Sam Zhou. So what it means is, when a conflict arises amongst us, the unified goal and mission will continue to tie us as one and make us learn how to complete the race binded together. You know, for the past 20 plus years, I really thank God for giving me a group of brothers and sisters who walk closely with me in my faith journey. If you ask me whether we have ever argued, my answer would be a loud yes. Sometimes to the point that we are red in the face or we go into a cold war, in which we try to avoid each other for a period of time. We argue because we have very different backgrounds and temperaments. Our 20 years of togetherness have left in all of us scratch marks. Yet, these marks signify our willingness to be true to one another in our walk towards the same goal. And they also mark our learning to accept one another. And today, we are still together. It is not because we are broad-minded, and very often, most probably, we are quite the opposite. What has been driven us to continue as a group is the desire to seek God and to share Christ's gospel. And this desire reminds us to always put Jesus first, and as we put him first, we are able to come through many crises and storms. And it allowed us to experience the beauty of living as brothers and sisters in Christ as one body. May I challenge you? Do not be contented with just being in a comfortable, happy relationships with your brothers and sisters in church. Of course, we should love one another and enjoy being together, but do not stop there. A God-given relationship is not just that simple. What we must do together is to actively seek him and to fulfill the great commission he gave us in unity. And the first step is to serve together. And I think some of you are already doing it. You serve together in Awana, VBS Summer Conference, an EMT worship team, and also Kids Cafe. We all serve together. And in serving together, you will encounter tensions and conflicts in relationships. Treasure those moments. These are the moments that will put us into test to see whether our relationships are built on sentiments or on the unified goal in Christ Jesus. Some of you may ask, why bother? We just want to enjoy being together, just enjoy the company of each other. Why do we need to go through all these troubles? So let's look at Paul and the Philippians. Whenever Paul remembered the Philippians, he had joy, not only because they were his good partners in the gospel ministry, but the deep joy came from how he had seen God's work of salvation in them. And these believers had not only been reborn and molded by God as new persons, God had brought them together as one body in Christ, such that they work together in one heart, in one soul, to spread the gospel. And the key is unity. Unity is not easily achieved. We had experienced a lot of challenges in the past. How many times have we broken the relationships in Christ because of our disagreements with each other? How many times have we hurt others by what we said? Not to mention when selfishness, jealousy, narrow-mindedness cause frictions among us. Unity does not come naturally. It certainly does not occur the moment when we meet. It is cultivated over a long period of time. It is a new way of life. And by God's grace, this new life is a new creation, which is born out of forgiveness after many quarrels, accepting one another after lots of tears and hard labor. God longs for all believers to experience this rebirth to unity. For he himself is the triune God with three persons in one, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And unity is his core being. When we can exhibit unity, we are shining God's glory to the outside world. And Paul said, God promises that he will achieve this good work of unity in his churches. And this gives us the assurance that God will protect LGC through all the storms we have all will face. He will not forsake us. We will remain as whole because He is the one who created us. Amen.